Hi, everybody. It's May 22nd, 2020. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Free K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thank you for being with us today, and let me be maybe the first person to wish you a happy Memorial Day weekend. Hope you're safe, and especially during this pandemic, obviously, be careful out there. But enjoy yourself. Have a restful, thoughtful time. Remember our veterans. Please, that's who Memorial Day does celebrate. And we give them great honors here and thank them, obviously, for everything they've done for our country. Maybe it's a good thing for once on Memorial Day that the mattress stores are closed. Okay, and instead of buying a mattress cheap, we can think about those wonderful vets who gave so much to all of us. So please, it's Memorial Day 2020. I have a feeling it's going to be one to remember. All right, but whatever you're doing, just be safe and have a good time and rest up. We have a nice show today. We were going to do it yesterday, and of course, just as the show started, my mouse literally disappeared off the screen. I had no way to control the screen. I had no idea what happened, but I had a reboot. And by that time, we couldn't do the show. It was really pretty crazy. But thanks to one of my guests today, Lisa Bracken, who worked very hard to put it together for today, the day after the little computer crash. We got a wonderful show with Reading Partners, readingpartners.org. I've got Malik Stewart here and Lisa, who are part of readingpartners.org in Texas. And also they brought with them a wonderful principal, somebody I'm looking forward to meeting, Ms. Kim Benavides, who is the principal of an elementary school in Fort Worth called the George C. Clark School. We're going to talk about meeting the literacy needs of all students during a pandemic. And it's an equity issue, without question. It's an access issue, without question. Okay? And it's the issue of good people getting out there and getting the job done. And that's what Reading Partners is. It's going to be a really good show. And I want you to listen to it and realize what Reading Partners may be able to do for your students, et cetera. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org, and we're tweeted out at EduTalkRadio like we always do. All right, and we do Facebook at EduTalkRadio and Larry Jacobs. LinkedIn is at Larry Jacobs. You can follow us, friend us, link with us, et cetera, et cetera. We'll tell you what's going on over here at Education Talk Radio. But please check our schedule anytime after Saturday morning, and you'll see our schedule for next week, which is going to be a good week, just as this one has been. All right. Please go over to our other website, which is ACE-ED.org. That's our Equity and Access Consortium, the American Consortium for Equity in Education, where its official journal, AC&E Magazine, lives. All right. And it's really an excellent website, the only website focusing on equity and access right across the board. We're the only media out there that does that for education. And, really good stuff. We invite you to join our consortium, the American Consortium for Equity in Education. Please do so. It's free. The magazine is free. All right. We want to make your voice heard. ACE-ED.org. We have a lot of members. We're with a lot of fellow organizations. We'd love you to be on board with us. ACE-ED.org. Okay. Let me bring on my wonderful guests, including the hero of the day, Ms. Lisa Bracken, who I'm going to bring on in just a second, who put everything together for today. So let me say good morning, Lisa. This is what I normally sound like when I'm not coughing after an allergy.
Good morning, Larry. We're so pleased to be on the show today. Thanks for having us.
I'm thrilled you're here, Lisa. Really, I am. And again, thank you so much for getting everybody in line. Let me introduce Malik next. Malik, are you there?
I am, Larry. Thank you so much for welcoming us back. I hope you're going to feel better and have a great weekend, but we're glad to be here.
I felt fine. I just couldn't stop coughing. It was one of those things, but like just one of those days where I must have been an allergy or something that kicked in, and I just could not stop coughing. It was a messy day, so today's a much better day, and I'm thrilled that you're here, too. Believe me, when Lisa called me back, it was like a cough-a-thon. Lisa, hold on for a second. I kept having to mute the phone so I could cough. It was unbelievable. Today's back to a normal day. Kim, are you there? This is what I normally sound like, Kim Benavides. Are you there?
I am. Hi, good morning.
Good morning to you, Miss Kim. How's things going at George C. Clark Elementary School, which I'm sure is doing remote learning right now? How you doing, Kim?
We are. Doing great. Right now, we actually have a few teachers passing out personal belongings to parents as they drive up to get things out of lockers and
desks. Nice. Is school almost over, or are you just kind of just getting rid of stuff right now, even
Without that.
Yeah, May 28th is the last official day of school, and then we start summer school right after that.
Wow. Okay, summer school will be remote too, I assume, right?
It will.
Yeah. How you doing? That's before we get into reading partners. How you doing with all this? Okay, how'd your teachers do, et cetera? And I know that, by the way, I know they did wonderful. We all got handed something, a complete paradigm change that we had to make over with no time at all. Congratulations to all the teachers. We love you. How'd it go, Kim?
It has been, my teachers have amazed me. They're the heroes of the day, along with Lisa. They've really stepped up and learned how to reframe the way they teach and the way they contact parents. And our parents have been really supportive. The teachers have been helping the kids log in. I've actually even had some teachers go to houses to help the kids set up the internet. We're making it happen.
Yeah, well, a lot of them won't need parking spaces next year because they can put on capes. They're all Superman and Supergirl. They can fly in, just jump in through the window. They're really doing a great job.
Right.
It's that simple. It really is. But again, before we go on, tell us about your school, George C. Clark Elementary School in Fort Worth. And I always love to ask this question when the school is named for somebody. First question, who was George C. Clark? Do you know?
Yes, I do. So George C. Clark was the school board president for Fort Worth ISD in the early 1900s, and his family donated the land that the school sits on.
There you go.
So
Mr. Clark, thank you.
So we were established as a school in 1914, and we serve students in grades pre-K through 5.
Wow. What's the demographics of the school like?
We are about 89% Hispanic. We're in a 93% economically disadvantaged area. A lot of our families have lived in the neighborhood since they were children, so we're a good little neighborhood school. Everybody walks to school or drives. We don't have any school buses. And we're kind of a hidden gem in a big urban district.
Yeah, I like Fort Worth. It always feels a little more down home than Dallas does to me. So we call it Dallas-Fort Worth the metro. But Fort Worth, it just always seems a little down home and a little small. I don't want to say small town. It's certainly not a small town, but it has that feel to it, at least in my memory and from the few times I've been there. Okay, that's really cool. Have you? And I'm going to swing into this, but let me ask you this because we're very interested in equity and access. Did you find that the kids all had access to the remote learning? How did that work out? Again, before I get into reading partners, I just want to get a picture of your school, Kim. How to work out access-wise, equity-wise, et cetera. And there's challenges all over the country. I'm trying to make sure people understand these.
Right. So the challenges were great. We had the district did a survey, so all of our teachers had to call every single family and fill out the survey for them just to see, do you have a device? Is the device up to date? Do you have access to internet? And then we spent many, many days over the course of a few weeks passing out Chromebooks to children, and then the district was able to secure some hotspots through AT&T for us.
Wow, good.
And so
we've
been getting internet out to those who did not have it.
Right. It is tough out there, and I know every school district, and it taught us all a good lesson, okay? But there's no way to learn a lesson with a pandemic. Let's remember 90-some thousand people have passed away from this terrible disease, but it taught us all a good lesson. Okay, and preparedness and of education in this 21st century, and that we need to look at for equity and access all the way across the board. Congratulations to you, your school district, your school board for getting that stuff out there, Kim. Everybody, I speak for the parents, really appreciates what you and your teachers and everybody has done. So thank you, Kim Benavides, George C. Clark Elementary School. Wow, it's good stuff. You pat yourself on the back, tell your teachers to, et cetera. Let's swing over to I'm going to start with Lisa Melly, called Tight. Lisa, tell us about Reading Partners, readingpartners.org. Why is it even there, and when did it start? Give us a little bit about it. Tell us. Lisa Bracken, the hero of the day, everybody. The hero of the day. Go ahead, Lisa.
So thanks so much, Larry. So we actually started just about 20 years ago with two school teachers based in California. And, you know, they saw a need that they wanted to work with their students one-to-one. And so this whole genesis of bringing together community volunteers to help support schools kind of started a movement with them. And so Reading Partners, we officially kind of had this new name. And so we started out of California, and now we're across 13 regions across the United States. In our particular region, we're, like you said, we're North Texas. So we cover Dallas ISD and Fort Worth ISD, but we're coast to coast. And so we work directly one-to-one with students, and Malik can jump in and kind of give you a little more about that. But, you know, the reason why we really exist is because nationwide only 21% of our low-income students and 35% of students overall are reading proficiently by the fourth grade, according to our nation's report card. And, you know, in North Texas, the numbers are even lower. So it's 14% of low-income K through kids here are proficient readers. And so, you know, Larry, we keep these statistics in mind, and we know that there's an urgent need for what we do in our intervention program. And we also know that a student's ability to read at grade level by third grade is vital to continued success in school. And, you know, there's this thing that happens. So there's this transition that happens. So a child is learning how to read up till third grade. So you always hear about this predictor of third grade reading. Why do kids have to be on board and reading proficiently by third grade? So up to third grade, kids are learning how to read. But then what happens by fourth grade is kids start reading to learn. So they have to be able to read all their subject areas, science, social studies, math problems.
Yeah.
And so without the additional support, kids will start falling faster behind, further behind. And we also know that if they're reading below grade level in third grade, they're four times as likely as their peers to drop out of school and not get their diploma.
That's right.
So, you know,
readingpartners.org. Go ahead.
Readingpartners.org. Yes, absolutely. And I like to say that reading's a great equalizer, and at Reading Partners, you know, we try to create that educational equity that you were just talking about and really close the reading gaps. And we work with thousands of children across the United States.
Without reading, you have access to pretty much nothing. You have to know how to read. Okay, it's that simple. Reading. It's the first one. Reading, writing, and arithmetic. And by the way, it's the only one that's spelled properly. I might add the three R's. Right. Just so you know.
That's
the top one. And one thing before I go over to Malik, you're executive director of Reading Partners North Texas. I know a little bit about Texas. There's a lot of Texas north of Dallas and Fort Worth. Okay, do you go up to like Amarillo and all those places?
We do not, but that's something that we can look at. I'm actually looking at a couple other cities here in Texas that have asked us to, you know, could you come support our ISDs? So we may be expanding in Texas. So, you know, we're hoping to do that to serve as many kids as we possibly can.
Right, and the problems of Texas are not unique to Texas. They are reflected all over the country, believe me. Okay, Malik, so what
that's
do you
right.
do? Now that we know what Reading Partners does, Malik, you're the program director there. Get down to the nitty gritty. What does Reading Partners people actually do in the schools?
That's a great question. Thanks, Larry. That's a great question. So first and foremost, what we do is we depend, right? We depend on strong school partners like George C. Clark and a cadre of community volunteers. So in a traditional sense, we have a school-based model where a school partner gives us an available space, and we transform that space into a reading center where volunteers cycle through every week. So we pair those volunteers one-on-one with a student, and they work. A student gets a volunteer pair, and they work twice a week with a student, 45 minutes a week. So a student can be seen by the same volunteer or two different volunteers, 45 minutes twice a week. They follow an individualized plan, which is based on an assessment of their strengths and an assessment of their areas of need. And then we do this also with AmeriCorps members. We train a group of AmeriCorps members and senior staff such as myself, and we help to provide coaching to the volunteers. We are liaison to the school staff to make sure our partnership stays strong. And again, our volunteers are, they're the key. They're amazing. They come from every area of life.
Sure.
We have high school students, college students, different career areas, folks who are going into work, taking lunch breaks. Myself, before I work with Reading Partners, I work with another nonprofit, and I would come and volunteer on my lunchtime. And we have a host of retirees and seniors. And one pieces that also that connects with our program is that in that 45-minute session, as the session is wrapping up, that student has an opportunity to select the book that they get to take with them. So they take that book with them because our goal is that they build a home library so that you just don't have that 45-minute session or 90 minutes within a week. But when you go home, you have books that you've selected
you
that
read.
Are on your reading level, that you're interested in, that you can read read at home. And that's important to us.
It sure is, and
so,
I hope you're tapping into the schools of education to get those future teachers volunteering in the schools. That's the first thing that crossed my mind, besides everybody else.
So that's a great point. We actually get AmeriCorps members from all majors and all different walks of life. Some of them are college students. Some of them are considering a different career. Some of them are making they're doing what we now call a gap year before they go on to law school or medical school, and they're finding a real enjoyment and love in working in the community. I know one of our members who's headed to law school through their service year, and some of the work they had done previously with Teach for America, their focus is going to be on educational communities of need and education policy, and trying to focus on the same type of communities that that we work with. And the really great thing, Larry, when I volunteered with a number of organizations, and you know, it made me feel good. I've coached, I've mentored. One of the things that Reading Partners did was Reading Partners actually showed me the impact of my volunteerism, and it was dramatic.
Wow.
It shocked me. And so, the average student with us, they more than double their rate of learning while they're in the program. And so for the last school year that we had actual full year, which was 2018-19, 90% of the students met or exceeded their end-of-year literacy growth goal, 90%. So 90% of the students who were with us met or exceeded their growth goal. And what we've seen is that on an average, every student, if a student spends a month with us, they can gain up to 2 months of learning. And it's phenomenal.
Wow. That is phenomenal. And I must ask, just because we're talking to so many people across the country, do you guys charge for this service, or is this a free service to schools, readingpartners.org? How's that work?
So we do a contract with a district, and Lisa can probably explain this a little better than I do. We have conversations with districts because we want to make sure that the district and both Reading Partners, we both have a fiduciary responsibility. We also have community donors who help to make sure that we can bring this program to the schools or the districts. To the students or to the families, there is no charge. So like some of the other tutoring programs that may be out there, there is no charge. There's no charge for the books. There's no charge for them to be in there. We're there to make sure that they get seen. And we're normally primarily in schools where there's high free and reduced lunch rates, so Title I schools traditionally known.
Yeah, of course. And by the way, there's no harm in charging people. There are expenses incurred, et cetera, but I just wanted to ask the question so that everybody listening could understand how it works. And believe me, it's not dollars spent, it's dollars invested, okay, that people are putting in because this works, okay? This works and it works well. All right, how'd you find out about this, Kim? That you're for George C. Clark School.
Okay, so Fort Worth, like you said earlier, Larry, Fort Worth is a really great city. And so we have a lot of nonprofit organizations that care a lot about our schools. And so the Rainwater Foundation is one that partners with my school on other initiatives. And they brought Reading Partners to my attention and said, is this something that you think you would enjoy or that your kids would benefit from? And so I got to meet a few people from Reading Partners. I think Lisa was in that first meeting, and they told me what they do, and I just loved it. I can't imagine running a school without Reading Partners now.
Wow, that's saying something right there. Thank you, professional educator, for saying that. That's incredible. Okay, and you know, but I have to ask this: the kids and their mentors, okay, the Reading Partners volunteers, meet together during normal times. All right, but of course we're in abnormal times, all right, with the pandemic and everything. Lise, how's this working out? How has the pandemic changed the way you folks continue your work? Lisa Bracken.
Yeah. So, you know, we immediately had to pivot and, you know, we turned to innovation. Fortunately, we had just started working and developing a texting platform that uses cell phone technology. And we were interested in this even prior. So we started thinking about this back in the fall because we wanted to involve families more. We wanted to see, you know, what can we do to create access to families, but it doesn't involve a computer and you don't have to have the internet in order to have it. So we thought cell phone technology is something that, you know, most people have and they have access mm-hmm. to it. So we partnered with this group out of Colorado called Bright by Text. And they didn't have any literacy content, and so we said, well, we're content providers, so we can write and curate and develop the content, and then you guys can be the ones, because we're not a tech company, so you guys can be the ones that deliver it. So it was a great partnership, and so we were actually just starting to soft launch this right when the pandemic hit, and it was only going to be for the families that we were serving. So what we did was, again, pivoted to say, we want all the families in the district and we and in Dallas ISD as well and community members to be able to get this literacy access right to their phone. So that was one thing that we were immediately able to do. And so people like Kim, they were able to put it on their social media and they shared it with the families when they were doing their phone calls, which we were so grateful for. So, you know, the other thing is we, you know, we serve, like you said, one-to-one with a volunteer in from 8 to 3. So we're there during the school mm-hmm. day. So now what we're doing, because we know school may be disrupted again. So we've already heard from our, so our superintendents are already saying it could be what's called a blended learning environment. So a blended learning environment could be part in school, part at home, you know, just like a mix. So we're waiting to hear what that's going to look like, but however it looks, we're going to be ready. And so what we've done is we've taken our curriculum and now we're putting it online, we're making it digital, but we're still mm-hmm. going to work with a live volunteer. So if a child is at home, or it could be the scenario that the child is in school, but the school can't bring in volunteers because of social distancing. They want to separate the kids a little bit so they're not overcrowded. So they don't want any other community members coming in. So what we'll be able to do is provide this distance tutoring with a volunteer in their home or at their workplace or wherever they are. So we'll be ready, you know, either way. And we've also been developing things like skill-based videos for parents because I'm a parent, Larry, and so, you know, it's like, you know, all of a sudden I'm I'm working from home and I'm teaching my kids, right? Yeah. So it's like, so we have this like dual role, which can be a little stressful. So we've created these short 2 to 3 minute long skill-based videos for parents and for teachers as well. So things like, you know, how do you create, how do you help with sight words and consonant blends and these different things, but they're fun things to do at home. So, you know, I say the silver lining for us has been the innovation piece. You know, it's allowed us to have a little bit of time when normally we're just working as hard and fast as we can in the school day to day. So we've been able to really reflect on what can we do. But the good thing is all of the things that we're doing, the platforms, the innovations, these are things we're going to take into the future, regardless of the pandemic or not a pandemic, right? So we see this as sort of like, this is how it's going to be going forward. Like, we'll be able to have more family engagement and get out more videos and work a little non-traditionally than what we've done in the past.
And when you say we, you're referring to the national reading partners, right? Not just the Texas reading part, North Texas reading partners.
That's right. Yeah. That would be all of our regions. So fortunately, we're
Let's say I'm the school district where I grew up. It's not where I live now, but let's say I'm the school district of Philadelphia, and I want to talk to you. okay, to readingpartners.org. You now are, Lisa Bracken, readingpartners.org. Okay, and I am the school district of Philadelphia. Okay, if I called you guys or got in touch with you today, how long would it take to ramp this up in a Philadelphia situation, using them as an example?
So that's a really, really good question, and one that
that's
that
why
I've
they pay me the big bucks.
With...
That's why they pay me the big bucks to ask the tough question.
So I would say the full ramp up would take about a year, and maybe less in these a little more uncertain times. So the first thing is that we have to have, and I think Malik kind of referred to this a little bit, is a willing district partner. So you coming from Philadelphia, the superintendent, district administrators call us. We start having the conversation, you know, how many schools are we looking at? You know, how many students would you like to serve? So we have kind of the basic conversations. We have the conversation of, you know, would they be able to help with the investment in paying? Because as we said, it's free to students, but it's not free to deliver all of our content, right? Like we have people that we pay on our
Absolutely.
Team and content and books that we curate and buy and get out. So that's the first conversation is that interest. If they're able to support with what we call a fee for service. And then we start mm-hmm. looking at the community, like, right? Like where can we serve? Like what are the schools? And so it just starts with a really simple beginning conversation. And then it starts moving from there. So I would say a year or less than a year.
Cool. And thank you for that. And I have to add, I'm just going to ask Malik, if you want to answer this, you can, or Kim, I don't know. I'll just throw the question out there. You decide. Fort Worth's a pretty good size ISD, okay, independent school district. And how many schools in Fort Worth are using Reading Partners right now? Who knows that?
I think all three.
Hello, Lisa.
Five.
All right, Malik,
five
go for it, Malik.
I was going to say, I think all three of us know that question. I think all three of us know that answer, but it's five.
Five? Oh, are they all, then they're all obviously elementary schools, right?
Correct. They're all elementary schools.
Mm-hmm. And they were selected because of their, if I may, high need for their kids.
Absolutely.
That's exactly Hello? Right. And across North Texas, Larry, we're in 19 schools. So Dallas ISD as well as Fort Worth.
Do you have any trouble finding volunteers? Lise or Malik, whoever.
Yeah, Malik, I'll let you take that one because I know. Or Kim?
Malik, I'm going with Malik on this one. Malik, do you have any trouble finding volunteers? How do you get the word out?
I'm going to start on this one, but I think Kim's going to have a great answer. I think I'm like telekinesis. I know that we're working on the same answer. So volunteers volunteers are an ongoing search for us nationally. It doesn't matter if it's Fort Worth, Dallas, if we're talking about our New York, D.C. region, if we're talking about Los Angeles. It's an ongoing piece. And the reason is volunteers have different things that happen in their lives. So a volunteer today who's got that time, who has that lunch break, all of a sudden gets a different assignment. Or a college student who's always available in the fall, they get their spring semester schedule, and they're not as available at the same time frame. And so when we pair a volunteer, we do it by day and by time slot. And then if we have to pivot, as Lisa said, we'll pivot. But volunteers are always ongoing. So for the national audience, wherever Reading Partners or Reading organization is, you have the time, either a computer or physically, we are interested in having you volunteer.
Here, here. Readingpartners.org, everybody. Kim, what did you – Kim, you finish that answer, Kim, if there's more to say. Kim Benavides, everybody. Madam Principal.
So from the principal lens on that, selecting volunteers is thing that I don't have time for. And so just to be very honest, what one more awesome thing about Reading Partners is that they do it. They have people who would come to my campus and work from the school for a day and go out into the community and find those volunteers that match my students. And they look to churches and universities for a lot of the volunteers.
How about Rotary clubs? How about Rotary and the Lions and all that stuff?
I mean, I would assume. I don't know exactly where they. Malik probably can
they'll
answer
love
that
it.
One better.
Yeah, they'll love it. I'm telling you. Okay.
Yeah,
they'll love it.
So we have. So as a part of our senior staff, we have volunteer managers or officers who target both Fort Worth and Dallas, and then we also have AmeriCorps members who help support that. And the numbers of people or groups that they interact with, there's not a stone they won't turn down. So credit union groups, they've had conversations with them. Alumni chapters of sororities and fraternities have had conversations with them. There's no stone that they will not look for when it comes to volunteers.
Yeah, this is really, really, really good stuff, and it's probably needed now more than ever. You know, kids are going to be falling behind. We're all doing a good job. I don't mean to say that, but kids, are, without question, you got the summer slide coming up that they fall behind anyway, okay? And then you have this, okay? God knows if they're going to go back to school or not, or how they're going to go back to school in the fall. All right. And boy, volunteers are needed now more than ever. This is just great. I hope you guys expand nationally to everywhere. You're working in L.A. You're working in North Texas. Where else, if I may, Lisa? Just off the top of your head.
We're in Charleston, South Carolina. So, you know, we kind of hit over there on the East Coast. And then you kind of travel up the coast. And then we're in Baltimore. We're in New York. We're in Washington, D.C., we're in Los Angeles, we're in Seattle, we're in Silicon Valley, we're in Tulsa, Oklahoma is a fantastic region, which is actually has a huge volunteer base, which kind of surprised me at first when I heard about it, but they do, and there's a lot of need there. So we're literally coast to coast.
That is fabulous, and I hope more to come. Okay, if we can help you in any way, we will. What you guys do is really important, and it's literacy needs. If we can get these kids, and Kim can vouch for this, over the hump of third grade and get them reading on schedule, A, the world opens up for them, and B, they do better in school all through and have a better chance to succeed. Right, Kim?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You've got to get the kids reading. Early, and it's the one-on-one. It's that 90 minutes a week of one-on-one that helps them close the gaps faster.
Wow. It's so important. Thank you, Kim, for all the work you're doing. Thank your teachers and staff and all that, including your lunch ladies and everybody else for the work you guys do, your lunchroom staff. I mean, it's just unbelievable what everybody's going through. Kim, keep up the good work. Malik, you're a good guy. You're going to heaven, you and Lisa. Lisa's going because she's a hero, okay? And you're just going because you're such a good guy. Okay? Thank you. Incredible.
Thank you, Larry.
I really appreciate that. You are terrific. Keep up the good work. The kids love you, and I love you, okay?
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
I appreciate you. Have a good weekend. Stay safe. And thanks, all three of you.
You
bye-bye.
As well.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, Kim and Malik. Okay, and Lisa, the hero of the week. Thank you so much. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org. We're going to tweet it out over at EduTalk Radio. And please go over ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org, the American Consortium for Equity in Education. Whew, right down the line of what readingpartners.org is doing. Great work, Reading Partners. Thank you for what you do. Happy Memorial, everybody. Please be safe. Happy Memorial Day. Please be safe, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Signing off till after the holidays.